For those who have just maybe come into church, we've just started a new series on the life of Joseph and learning from him. Just he's a mind-blowing character and a picture of Jesus. But we're going to be pulling some things out from his life this morning. I want to start off with two jokes. If Sylvia can just put up the first one. This is kind of an old joke I heard years ago, so I hope that them listening on online don't get offended at this. It's just an old joke. But it was a guy who got on a bus and he sat between two beautiful women. And he's going around the corner and he leans into one and he's silently praying and he said, "Lord, lead me not into temptation." And the bus straightens up and he leans into another corner and he ends up leaning over to this other lady and he said, "Oh Lord," he said, "let your will be done." And it's just one of those kind of leaning into the wrong direction. A young lad is stood in a shop at the side of the door. Just at the side of him is a big sweet counter. And the shopkeeper's looking at him and he's keeping an eye on this young lad. He's watching him for a few minutes and then he said, "It looks like you're going to steal some sweets, young man." And the young lad said, "No," he says, "you're wrong." He says, "I'm trying not to." And temptation for everyone, sometimes it can be anything and everything. I think we all fall into this category of being tempted, and it's not wrong to be tempted, it's just knowing what to do with that temptation. So Joseph, he made a move in the right direction. Let's just go on to the next one, Sylvia, thank you. He ended up as a slave in Egypt, and this is what we looked at last week, that all that he went through, being rejected by his family, hated by his family, sold into slavery. Just thinking about this, he ended up in a foreign land. He had to learn how to do a different culture regarding food and everything else. And everything regarding his background, regarding coming from like a dysfunctional family, Joseph had every reason not to turn out right. But him and God were special together. Just like you and I are very special in our relationship with God. And he realized, did Joseph, that his life with God had to increase. The size of God for him had to increase. Because a small God, he wouldn't be able to get through this. But with a God who is big, I mean, Joseph really excelled. And I'd like us just to look at a reading. There's two readings. Maybe I'd like just to read these together. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. And so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. So as we've recapped and we've looked at Joseph's story from being the blue-eyed boy with his fancy coat and being hated, and you know the story, we went through all that last week. Right now, he is a slave. He's been bought. And so his life isn't his own anymore. He's actually a slave. And it's just looking at that last portion of God's word, but it says this, "But the Lord was with Joseph, and so that he prospered." And so just because you and I go through tough times, just as Joseph did, it doesn't mean to say that the Lord's not with us. It's just that here, I find it so interesting that all that he's gone through is prospering. And sometimes you and I, we can easily measure prosperity by wealth. But this is soul prosperity. This is Joseph really, really growing, even in tough times. Potiphar, he was Pharaoh's bodyguard. And here now is David. He's so close now to Joseph. Joseph is tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he's confident, he's got a sense of humour, he's good looking. And in the Bible, when it talks about good looking, it just mentions two men. One of them is David and one of them is Absalom. Potiphar and Joe, they begin to get on really, really well. Joe admires his boss, and Potiphar is very fond of Joseph. And Potiphar knew that Joseph were different. And so he handed everything over to him. For someone to do that in a place of authority, he must have really, really trusted not just a friend, but a slave. And so Joseph's life really, really stood out for this guy to do this. Now, there's two things just I'm going to bring out of these two portions of God's word. People who don't know God are not stupid. This is one thing that's really, it's really gripped me as this. They might be spiritually confused. They might not get doctrine or understand the Trinity, but they can spot a hypocrite a mile away. They can spot someone who's false. And here, Potiphar spotted someone who were really genuine. He were different. His lifestyle were different. What he said and what he did, what he didn't do and what he did do. Joseph stood out for all the right reasons. And this man, Potiphar, knew that he could hand everything over to this beautiful, young, good-looking guy who were very different to him in culture. But there was something about him that he knew that he could just trust. He wasn't a phony. And Potiphar, it says about him, it says, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. It's stunning. The other one is blessings and temptations, they kind of go together. Five times in just these verses that we read, it talks about Joseph being blessed by God. And when you think about this journey that he's on, from being this blue-eyed boy, he's gone through quite a tough time, experiencing hatred and rejection. And it says, but God was with him, and he made him to prosper. And so God's got his hand on this guy called Joseph. It's interesting that when things are tough, we lean more on God. We press more into God. We read more about him. We become dependent more upon him. And sometimes in life, when things are going well, when promotions come, when all my dreams are all coming to fruition, we take things for granted, it's all going my way, we become very complacent. And so here Joseph, he knows that he's having to lean on God, and he learns God. Let's look at the next one. And because of this, you and I need to be on guard. Because temptation is always lurking round the corner. They're usually where there's blessings and we forget things. There's always something going to come our way. And God, he speaks about this in his word. Be alert. Be aware. Continue to pray. Just stay with me. Stay strong. Don't wander off on your own. Just continue to do life with me. Because temptation is always lurking around where you and I are being so blessed that we tend to forget things. It's a little bit like when the tide's gone out. You know, when you're walking on the beach and the tide's gone out and you see dangerous things sticking up and you see rocks and things, and we kind of know where they are because we can see them. But when the tides come in and we're kind of paddling and we're having a great time or we're barbecuing, it's all covered. And sometimes in the great times, we tend to lose. We forget things that are there, the dangers. And so God often warns us, be alert. Kind of be aware. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. No one knows how bad he is until he's tried to be good. I kind of like that. No one knows how bad he is until he's tried to be good. Okay, let's read on. Let's look at the next one. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." Joseph must have been attracted to her. She must have been kind of quite pretty. Because you're not interested if you're not tempted. And so Joseph May must have been really tempted. Temptation is the inner urge to do something wrong that hits us in the place of our own personal weakness. Remember Job? Job made a covenant with his eyes with God. Just be careful where he looked and how long he focused on something. Temptation is something on the outside that kind of triggers off something on the inside. When we lived in the Middle East, we went through Ramadan. It's a month, month of fasting. It's quite funny, really, because there's more food imported than any other time. They're feasting all night. They're supposed to sleep during the day, but they don't because they're working, and then they eat at night. So they hardly sleep at all for a month. And Ruth had gone out with a kind of a decent top on, but she'd got some shorts on. Not skimpy ones, by the way, because she'd be showing all the tattoos. No, but really, really, I'm joking. Really, really kind of long ones. And there were a guy on the roof, and Ruth had gone out to the market. And she came in, she was a little bit upset, and I said, "What's wrong?" She says, "Well, I was walking back from market, and this guy on the roof began to throw vegetables at her." And the thing is, what we found out later on is that he was fasting, and because he looked at Ruth and he'd lusted after her, it was her fault for breaking his fast. So he began to throw things at her. Well, we were short of veg, so I gave her a cardboard box and said, "Can you go back out and can you catch him?" It's true. What I'm getting at is that that wasn't Ruth's fault. She got long shorts on, not like they were skimpy, but he blamed her. And sometimes you and I, instead of taking the ownership of our kind of all the rubbish that stirs us up inside, we first thing we do is we blame. And God's trying to deal with stuff from, you know, within us. And this guy looked at Ruth and was like, "Hey, she's brought my fast, I fancy her." So it began to pelt her with stuff. Something on the outside that says, triggers off something on the inside. And we're not to blame DNA, not to blame, "Well, my dad were like this, or my mum were like this, or my brothers were like this." Every one of us is individuals, and we've all got our own walk with God in all types of temptation. But the sexual one is a big one, because it don't matter who it is, at some point you and I will be tempted in this way. If you looked at verse 7, it says these words, "After a while." Wow. After a while. How long had she been doing this? She must have been some looker. She must have smelt good. She must have had an incredible figure. In fact, in Hebrew, this is what it means as we read these verses. She made eyes at Joe. And every time he turned her down, and every time she kept coming back. Temptation. Temptation sometimes sexually can be so strong. And I think this must have been really strong for Joseph. Maybe daily, monthly. Maybe went on for years. This went on for, I believe, quite some time. She wanted to wear him down. And the question is, and I looked at this a few weeks ago, Joseph's had such a rough time. He's been hated, he's been rejected, he's been taken away from his family, and he's gone on a journey, and he's been sold, etc., etc., etc. Why not, Joseph? Why not take advantage of all this? You've had an awful time. You can have your cake and eat it now. Nobody's ever going to know. And so I wrote down just a couple of questions. Why turn her down, Joseph? Who on earth's going to know about this? You've had a tough journey, Joe. And your family won't know. Your family's not here. You deserve this, Joseph. You can have it all. Temptation's like that. temptation comes in and it stirs us up. Let's look at the next slide. When things happen like this, it's a reminder this morning for us as we look at Joseph to remember who we are. You and I belong to God. You and I belong to him. She's grabbing him. It's all on offer. The temptation's strong. You and I can still say no, even when it's strong. Joseph belonged to God. He's thinking, I can't do this. My body don't belong to me. It belongs to God. And it doesn't matter, folks, sometimes whether it's male or female, how good looking they are, how smart they are, how funny they are, how wealthy they are, the person of your dreams, you can't do it. It's wrong. It's wrong because it messes us up. And this is why God speaks about this. This is the most powerful temptation for any man or woman, whether they're single or whether they're married. I don't know if you've heard this, but does anybody know how an Eskimo kills a wolf? And this is what he does. He gets a knife, he covers it in blood, he maybe walks from his home, whether it's an igloo or whatever he's living in, he walks a few hundred yards, and he sticks this knife in the middle of the snow, and then he walks back. And then the day after, he goes back, he retrieves his knife, and there is a wolf, totally dead. What happens is this, is that the wolf can smell the blood on the knife, it finds it, it begins to lick. And as it's licking, it's getting warm, it cuts its own tongue, but it doesn't know because he's enjoying himself. And then after a while, it kind of bleeds to death. That's how an Eskimo kills a wolf. It just doesn't know what's going on. And sometimes in these times of temptation, if we fall, we just don't know what is going on. What did Joseph do? He didn't mess around. He didn't flirt. He didn't stay and think, how far can I go? Just remember this, Joe said no. That's it. Joe said no. Why? It's because he loved God more than anything else. He knew that God were with him. Potiphar knew that God were with him. And Joe had the bottle and the guts to say no. And so there's always a way of escape, no matter where we are, no matter how strong that temptation is. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Number one, Joseph, he was trustworthy. Verses 8 and 9. Listen to what he said in that previous scripture we read. With me in charge, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he trusts me with completely. He has put me in charge of everyone and everything except you, his wife. And so Joseph was so loyal and so trustworthy to his boss. He cared for him. He was close to him. Then, this is the other one, and this is of the same chapter. Again, it's verse 9, but it's the first part. And this I love. This is one of the most important kind of sentences in the whole of chapter 39. This is what Joseph said. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? So he's not just loyal to his boss, but he's loyal to God. How can I do this? It's like spitting in the face of God after all the blessings he had poured on him. Now, I'm sure that Joseph could have been in a frame of mind or put himself in a frame of mind and looked at all the negative. And we're very good at that. But sometimes you and I have to retrace and look at all the blessings of God. That's what we need to look at. All the blessings, even being sold, being rejected by his family, all the stuff, there's blessing in it. There's blessing everywhere. Listen to what Spurgeon said. This is quite special. He says, when I regarded God as a tyrant, I thought sin was like, what a trifle. But when I knew him to be my father, then I mourned that I could ever have kicked against him. When I thought that God was hard, I found it easy to sin. But when I found God so kind, so good, so overflowing with compassion, I was on my knees as a broken man to think that I could ever, ever have rebelled against one who loved me so much and who wants the best for me. Now, I've read that was by Spurgeon. But sometimes we forget just how good really God is to us. Listen to Luke 15. This is the prodigal son. I have sinned against heaven and then before his dad. He knew that he had to be right with God first. Remember David? David had fallen here. King David, he'd kind of fell with Bathsheba. You know the story. And he tried to hide it from God for 1 year. And in that 1 year, afterwards, when he kind of got it right with God, as he looked back, that year were awful for him. He'd lost his joy. It were all churned up inside. He were awful. In fact, during that year, he said to God, God, please just don't look at me. I'm too ashamed. Just don't look at me. And yet, when he got it right with God and he confessed to God and God forgave him, and this is God, isn't it? He so loves us. And he's a God who restores and forgives. He began to praise him. And it's beautiful when you look at how God restored David from what he did. At the moment, I'm helping a friend on the mainland. He's in this situation at the moment. And I've known this guy for quite some time. He were in sort of what you call full-time work, like God's work. And because of temptation and falling into it, at the moment, he and his family are divided. And there's a lot of crying, and there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of hurt. And God is just piecing things back, just bit by bit. What I love about the Lord is, just like he did in John chapter 8 with the woman that were caught in adultery. And he turned to me and said, look, I don't condemn you, but just don't carry on doing what you're doing. There needs to be a change within your life. And I love God because I've seen people restored through this. And again, everybody's tempted that he does restore and he does forgive and he does cleanse. But at the moment, I'm just going to say, if you're in that, then you need to stop. Proverbs chapter 8, the last verse, verse 36, it says these words, if when you sin, you injure yourself. So it's not God trying to stop your fun. It's God knowing that you and I injure ourselves. We hurt ourselves. So remember, God's not a killjoy. He's the giver of joy. And if you're going through a time at the moment that you're really tempted, then you need to run. Just again, just like the example of Joseph. I remember years ago listening to a guy called Ken. I forgot his second name, but he must have been about 75 years old. And we were in a meeting. Sorry, I didn't hear him online. That was another message. We were in a meeting. And Ken is 70-odd year old, and he stood at the front, and this is what he said. He would talk on temptation and sexual temptation and falling or running away, and if you have, God forgives. It were brilliant. And he said these words, if you think it gets easier as you get older, he says, you're wrong. He says, everybody is tempted. So, I need two volunteers. Oh, my word, here we go. And it's kind of, it's sort of funny. Could I have that young man just right there, Mark? Mark, if you can just come, and maybe Phil Laver, if Phil can come. I just want you to come to the front. It's just an illustration. You might be thinking, what on earth is he going to illustrate? What are you going to do? It doesn't involve the rope, no, but you can have a go afterwards if you want. I'd like you to, I'll give you about maybe 25 seconds to turn into a slide, a children's slide, okay? No, together, if you can. Yep. That's right. 10 seconds left. Oh, now there we are. There's the slide. It's got to have a bit of a bump in the middle, so that's a
very deep slide.
It's a very deep slide. Okay, thank you. I want. Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. Do you need hand up? Right. There would have been a great point if you'd have stayed there. Anyway, no, honestly, it's fine. I was hoping to get a children's slide, but I couldn't find one big enough. So this is what this guy said. He said, I want you to imagine that this process is like going up a slide. He says, you'll notice a kid when they get to kind of near the top, they're not going to come back down them steps. And he says, so they get to the top and then it's woof, they've gone. And so what he did is he likened it. So I want you to imagine that this is a slide here. Okay, just imagine. And these are the steps. Okay, there's maybe 12 steps to get to the top. In your thinking of where you're going to be tempted, and you would find it very, very difficult to come back down them steps, where would your run be? I just want you to think about that. I just want you to think about where your danger run on that ladder would be. And this is what he said. He says, if you get to that place, he says, I know that you will never come back down. Not down by the steps. You will fall. You will go. He says, so what I'm going to ask you to do in your mind's eye, if you've got like a place that is really, really tempting and you've been there once or twice, put the level below at least 2 and never go there. And I thought, wow, that is really good advice. This is why it talks about in 1 Corinthians 10 about running away from temptation. God says he will always make a way of escape. And again, if you have gone through this, God has forgiven you. And God can cleanse us. And he can restore us. He's the expert of doing that. Okay, let's look at the next one. Because this is what I love again about Joseph. Just say it as it is. This is what Joseph, how can I do such a wicked thing? This is what he called it. He called a wicked thing against God. How can I do this? How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? And what today, you and I live in an era, in an age where we weaken God's word. We use other words to kind of dress things up. And God knows the character and the depth of sinning like this. He knows the hurt and the pain. Just listen to one or two of the words and the meanings that we often play down. Adultery today is I'm having a fling or I'm having an affair. Temper, it's known as self-expression, or gluttony now is called the good life. So it's all words that kind of play down the sort of the realness of it all. And Joe, he said, how could I? How could I do this? And even here is when the temptation is so strong. But God in his life are number one. He could have said, but it's not that bad. I'm not really doing what my neighbors are doing. Look at what my friends are doing. I'm kind of encouraging you and I just to say it as it is before God, because he already knows what it's like. Joe continually said no. I guess that's the phrase for this morning. Joe said no. Potiphar's wife, she seduced him, flirted with him. This went on for ages and ages. Imagine him, every day at work, he lived in the house. She was around all the time. Someone stunning, someone beautiful. Someone attractive. She were there all the time. And he just kept saying no. But then she persisted and then she made a move. Let's look at the next one. Next slide. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties. And none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her servants Sorry, I forgot about this bit. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. What if Joseph would have given in? Just like in Genesis. It's the devil's fault, it's her fault, it's his fault. God, it's your fault. All the excuses that he could have had. Things that, excuses that you and I hear. Like, well, we were alone. There were no one else around. Or, I'm in a bad marriage. Or, I'm single and I have needs. Or, I deserve this. And everyone else is doing it. Well, so what? God understands. Temptation's not wrong. It's what you and I do with it. Look at that first part here. Let's go to the next one, sorry. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew. Oh, he's not Joseph anymore. Oh, no. No, it's this Hebrew. It's this foreigner. And you'll find also in these verses, she didn't refer to him as, wait until my husband gets home. She says, wait till your master gets home. She's really going to have Joseph. I reckon she's saying this in her mind. If I can't have you, then no one else can. Let's look at the next one. Make up your mind beforehand. You and I have to make up our mind before we get into this position, because when we're in this position, and who knows when it's going to come? Might be tomorrow, might be next week. We might be facing things like this now. Our mind has to be made up, because we won't have time to sit and pray about this when there's somebody all over us like a rash. We just think, hold on just a minute. You're a nice kisser, but I just need to sit and pray about this. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. We've got to be really real. Our mind has to be made up. Joseph's mind, no matter how strong this temptation was. And he was tempted. But he resisted. He stood firm. Let's look at this next reading. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. And when his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. A Hebrew slave. Trumped up charges. False accusations. And in that day, for a slave to do this, it wasn't prison, it was death. Now, this is just my own thinking that, okay, he might have been angry with what she said. He might even half believed her. But women in that day were notorious for this. And so I think this is why it wasn't the death penalty. I think to save face, he put Joseph in prison. Maybe that's why his anger burned. Maybe his anger burned against his wife too. Let's look at the next one. Next slide. Honour him, and he will honour you. Sometimes we feel as though we want to obey God because we want rewarding. God said, if you love me, then obey me. You honour me, and I will honour you. And at the time, sometimes when you and I honour God, it don't look like he's there. It don't look like he's in our situation, because it's still a bit tough. But God says, I will honour you if you honour me. Don't do it for rewards. Do it because it's right. Remember Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, the Bible study we've been doing in Daniel? Okay, king, you can say what you like, you can do what you like. We aren't doing this. Even if it means being thrown into this fiery furnace, we will not compromise. We're not going to do it. And it's the same attitude here as I find in Joseph. And really, this is, and I know that we're all tempted, I get that, is that when we're walking with God and we've got this relationship with him, it's actually leaving that and kind of going off and getting burnt. This is what it talks about here. And Joseph were not going to do this. Joseph belonged to God. Let's look at our last one. And this is what it's really all about. It's for you and I to know who we are. Our identity in who we are in Christ. So don't be surprised regarding temptation, because temptations are going to come. Or voices, or get caught up with feelings and impulses. It's just a matter of saying no. I know who I belong to. When tempted to do wrong, remember who we are and to say no. When the enemy whispers and he says, go on, there's nobody around, everybody else is doing it, we have to stand firm and say no. Tempted to blast someone, give them a piece of your mind, knowing it's going to hurt. No, I'm not going to be tempted to do that. But with Joseph here, what a guy. He really, really stood out. Sometimes we can think things are not good at home, and it's so easy to look at the negative, but instead it's to count every blessing that we have and just say no. So to me, folks, this is key, is to know who we are, and to know who we are in God, is to know who we are in Christ. Genesis 39, wow, it's quite powerful. A really powerful chapter, and one that you and I can be encouraged by as we again just think about Joseph and all that he went through. He still said no, and because he said no, he ended up in jail. Sometimes you and I will pay a price for standing out and saying no to things, but that's okay, because God says, you honor me and I'll honor you.